Welcome to the Negotiation in Real Life podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Davidson, and in this podcast, we'll explore the art and science of negotiation in real-world situations. Whether you're negotiating a business deal, asking for a raise, or trying to resolve a conflict with a colleague or loved one, negotiation is an essential skill that can help you achieve your goals and build better relationships. Through interviews with experts, real-life stories, and practical tips and techniques, we'll deep dive into the strategies and tactics that can make you a better negotiator. From understanding your own negotiation style, to reading body language, handling difficult conversations, and overcoming common challenges, this podcast will give you the tools you need to negotiate with confidence and achieve your objectives. So whether you're a seasoned negotiator looking to refine your skills, or someone who's new to the game, join us as we explore the world of negotiation in real life. Welcome back, everyone, to this week's episode of Negotiation in Real Life. I have a very special guest today who is especially experienced in the world of indirect taxes, something we all get very excited about, perhaps not. But I've got Ken Fahealy with me. Now, some of you might know Ken as Mr. GST, a specialist accountant and economist who is one of the experts who assisted the Treasurer and the ATO to write and implement the GST law nearly a quarter of a century ago. I remember that. He continues to specialise and advise the ATO, federal government, and other professionals and other businesses on GST and tax reform. Ken has over three decades of experience as a professional and a non-executive director, often as a chairman or a treasurer, on government, industry, not-for-profit and community boards and committees. Across a wide spectrum of education, property, visual arts, museums, faith-based organisations, and he's currently a volunteer first responder with SES Rescue. I'm exhausted just hearing about all the things Ken's been doing. He spent decades as a senior international partner of the top global professional service firms. He's been a sole practitioner since 2010, and he's got more letters after your name than I'm going to spell out. He's owned a contemporary art gallery. He was married for 30 years, and he's the proud father of four inspiring children. He's been rich, he's been poor, he's been homeless, and he's owned a Toorak mansion. So one might say that over the years he's been around and remains persistently optimistic and enthusiastic. Despite his hardcore discipline side, Kenny was also trained and exposed to matters involving the other creative and feeling hemisphere of the brain and has developed a warm, soft, understanding and gentle empathic side. I'm not sure we always find those in tax accountants. That's naturally led him to being sought out to coach, mentor and personally guide, formally or casually, a wide range of unique individuals, as unique as everyone around us all. Indeed, his testimonials range from a single Vietnamese boat refugee in her 30s, perhaps he's never asked her, through to a hardcore conservative entrepreneurial board director in his 70s. It's unsurprising that Ken's been described by some as a spirited and sometimes controversial persuader and negotiator, and I am looking forward to our conversations. Ken, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Nicole. Nice to be speaking to you.
I am so excited to have you on. You've got some amazing experience negotiating at really high levels, but also negotiating in everyday scenarios as well. And I love that for our listeners because a lot of them aren't negotiating in those high levels, but they can learn those lessons to take into the real life. Before we get into it, Ken, I've been blown away by your bio and all of the things that you've done. Perhaps you'd like to give our listeners a little bit more insight into who you are and what you do. And I think the other thing that's always intrigued me is can we get an explanation of where your accent is from? Because I've never been able to pick it.
Yeah, we often start off with a guessing competition. And to match the three passports that I have, I will explain. I am Canadian born to Irish parents, and I've been in Australia since I was 12 years old. So depending whether I'm saying going out, which sounds like a Canadian, and getting on to talking about my daughter, which is the Irish, there's a bit of Aussie in there too. So I kind of, whoever you want me to be.
I love it. I love it. Flexibility, one of the core skills of a negotiator.
Absolutely. So just a bit of background. Some might say that I've done exactly the same thing all my life, having been an indirect tax lifer for 47 years, having started off doing my economics and politics degree part-time while working as a sales tax investigator in the tax office in 1977. I've specialized in indirect taxes ever since. I've never done a tax return. I don't even do my own BAS. Don't know how to do a set of accounts. Why would I want to? But at the same time, parallel to that, I've always been involved in not-for-profits, always been involved on various community boards, been chairman of statutory corporations for both sides of politics, because it's about getting outcomes. And I must say, my negotiation and persuasion skills have been a two-way street. I've learned just as much from my children as I have from the top business people in the world, because we can all learn from each other, and I've learned from the best. And one of my favorite sayings at the moment is, when I grow up, I hope to be just like my children.
Oh, that's an awesome thing to be able to say about your children as well. So fantastic. So I'm interested. I mean, one of the things that I often ask people is about, you know, negotiation is a really important part of being successful in business, because even though you're an indirect tax specialist, you would also a partner within large organizations, and there's negotiations happening inside those organizations as well. Have you ever been taught how to negotiate?
I've been taught to use things like GST to achieve outcomes from the people I represent. Indeed, it surprises people when I suggest that I'm actually agnostic in relation to GST. I don't really care. The issue is whether an outcome is achieved for those I represent. So when I work with, whether it's for federal treasury, whether it's for the tax office, whether it's for a not-for-profit, whether it's for an individual or a company, I first have to work out, whose shoes am I standing in? And I rarely stand in my own shoes. I'm representing somebody else. And the first thing I have to find out is, what are they seeking to achieve? And really, at the end of the day, I wield a tool called GST. Just like a chef uses knives, ovens, pots and pans, but they wouldn't say they're the terrific knife wielder. They create unbelievable gastronomical experiences for the people who are coming to a meal. And in some sense, what I do is I use that wonderful thing called a GST Act. And no, I don't sleep with a copy under my pillow like everybody does. So when I'm trying to persuade or negotiate an outcome, I'm actually trying to achieve an outcome. Indeed, a good example is if I'm representing a supplier, I want it to be GST free so they don't have to pay for tax. If I'm representing a purchaser, I want it to be taxable so we can get a credit. If I'm representing treasury, what we want is a just outcome for the broad business community that flows onto society. So what am I trying to achieve? Depends whose shoes I'm representing, whose person I'm standing in the shoes of. Persuading people to get to an outcome, and there has to be an outcome. There's no right or wrong. There's an outcome. There has to be an answer.
Mm. The interesting thing about that for me is, and I completely get what you're saying, that you've got to stand in the shoes of your client to work out what is the outcome. How does that connect with the fact that if you're going to get an outcome, you also need to take into account what the other person's, you know, what it's like to be in their shoes as well?
Well, sometimes I say I'm an uncaring, unfeeling, objective, highly disciplined economist. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're all human. We all have feelings. And we all are impacted by tax. There's an outcome, and people want to achieve something for their benefit. I actually never learned tax at university. I learned economics and politics. And we're all entitled to think of our self-interest. People always want outcomes, and it becomes very personal. Sometimes people want an outcome, and the outcome they want is to be able to survive in business.
Mm.
And sometimes they want a tax outcome so they can actually continue to have a successful business. And when you start filtering all that down, why do they want a successful business? So they can feed their family, so they can own a home. And that's why I think the left and right side brain thinking is important. And mm-hmm. that's why I think my involvement in the arts, I was chairman of the Melbourne Art Foundation, taught me that things aren't always what they look like.
Mm.
And everything has an impact. And depending which side you're looking at, is taxation an extraction or an imposition? But there is an issue.
Or contribution.
People regularly ask me about tax reform. What rate of GST should we have? Well, tell me what kind of society and economy we want in 20 years' time. Then what we do is design a taxation system, welfare system, income distribution system that we want in 20 years' time, taking into account globalization, environment. And you put all that together, and GST is just one tiny little component, mm-hmm. of a big, huge system. And we work out where we want to go. Then we work out how GST can contribute to where we as a society want to head. And then we work out whether we'll succeed or not. But just picking a rate of tax, that's a bit of nonsense. It's like picking what kind of capital gains tax we want, what kind of income tax. It's actually part of a whole thing. And then when it comes to business, you know, people get, and quite rightly, get emotional.
Mm.
It affects them. Indeed, one thing that's interesting is I virtually never, ever, ever let a client come to me with the tax office because I get emotional. This GST is crazy. Well, so be it. But it is the law, and we actually have to work within the framework. Going to the tax office, the tax office and I might agree. This is nuts. So I'm sorry to say, I wish I could say, most people can say, well, I didn't write it. Well, I can't say because I was involved. But we are where we are. We thought it was a good idea 25 years ago. This is what we have to come up with an answer, Mr. Commissioner. And let's work out what the most correct answer is. How do we make it work? And this is where negotiation and persuasion skills come in, because one of my sons is a professional writer. And what we've got to work with the law is words.
Mm.
And words are just words. And words mean different things to different people. And what we've got to work out, we've got a set of words. And depending where the comma is not, what do those words mean? What are the outcomes, and where do we get a reasonable, supportable interpretation that gives an outcome? And this concept that people come, let's compromise. Sometimes when you compromise, you end up with a compromised outcome. That's
absolutely hard. Well, it's interesting because I look at these sort of, you know, if I think about somebody who's having a negotiation, so you've got a business on one side, the tax office on the other, and you're negotiating about how the GST law is going to be applied in one particular instance. Obviously, there's interests at play, whereas, you know, the fundamental interest of one of the, you know, of the business is going to be we want to pay as little tax as possible generally. And the tax office is we want to collect as much as possible. But it's if you focus just on those interests, you're never going to get anywhere, because what I've also heard you say is for the tax office, you know, they're also going to have to think about, well, what is this implication more broadly? What does this mean for other transactions? You know, you can't just go in there thinking the tax office cares purely about maximizing the tax on this transaction. They're actually looking at things in a much bigger scheme. So how does somebody deal with actually understanding what's going on for the tax office in these sorts of negotiations?
If you don't mind, Nicole, I'm going to challenge what you just said. And another reason I don't take clients to the tax office is because that way I can speak the absolute truth about how I feel, and so can they. I do not believe the tax office seeks to maximize revenue. Yeah. They want the most correct answer that's supportable, and I do too. So sometimes we sit there face to face. And by the way, sometimes it's not all that comfortable sitting face to face with Mr. GST, because we tell each other the truth. And you know, a client sometimes come to me, and unlike other advisors, you go to and they wax on lyrically. That's the term they use. And they want to tell you how much to know. Sometimes they ask me a question and they expect a long-winded opinion. And I say, the answer is, no. Or do I have to pay tax? Yes. That's it. If you want, I can give you an answer that's going to take 10 hours to explain, costs you 10 hours of advice. The answer is still going to be the same. The answer is one word. Sometimes the answer is really clear. But once you've got the answer for GST, what do you then do with it? So sometimes there's all kinds of things that there's workaround solutions. So for example, in the GST law combined with, say, the Tax Administration Act, I'm not going to go all technical on you, so don't worry. But sometimes the law is very interesting for GST. If the tax office issues a ruling that says something is GST free, but it's actually taxable, under the Tax Administration Act, the tax office can't collect the tax, not just of penalties and interest. You're relieved of the tax. So then you negotiate with the tax office. Okay, Mr. Tax Office, this is Mr. GST representing this client. You wrote this ruling on this little teeny piece of paper that we found on the website 15 years ago that implied this product was GST free. So we've not been paying tax for 15 years. So my clients relied on this for this, and his businesses relied on this. When are you going to change the ruling to make it taxable? Now, you got to give this client a bit of breathing space. This is where you can negotiate within the law. So give them 3 months to catch up, renegotiate with their suppliers and retailers. So you got to find in the law, and the tax office will work with you, because if you're being honest and cooperative, tax office is not out to nail people. What it wants is people to act responsibly, self-assess. So in a way, you do their work for you. You do the work for them. So there are areas to move in. What happens though, when people put the blinds down, fight the tax office, you know, at the end of the day, if the law says something's taxable, you got to pay the tax. If the law says something's not taxable, you don't have to pay the tax. The other thing I'll now mention before I give you a speaking turn is the law, it does not demand a level playing field. So if something under the law is taxable and something is not, I've just done a presentation on food and beverages. Some things are taxable and some things are not. So drinking yogurt is a beverage, which is taxable. Pourable yogurt is a food, which is GST free. Well, it's not a level playing field. So industry can't demand it be a level playing field. The retailers can't, and nor can the tax office. So sometimes is it unequal or unequal? Sometimes it's not a level playing field. Yeah. Things are taxable and some things are not. And sometimes you can negotiate what you put on the packaging, which gives different outcomes, different competitiveness. It can make your product saleable or not saleable. And so there's negotiation. So it's actually the GST itself maybe is not that interesting. I mean, I got a son who's got a PhD in mathematics. I don't understand a word he's talking about. I can tell people whether something's 10% or not, but the clients, businesses behind it can be really, really interesting. And that's why negotiation and persuasion stuff in the GST field is fascinating. If you remember back in 2019, the issue about feminine hygiene products.
I do remember that.
Everybody wanted to be GST free as a medical aid and appliance. Tax office was absolutely correct. It could not be GST free under those provisions. But the tax office wanted them to be GST free. But what it had to do, it had to convince the health minister to issue a statutory determination declaring it to be GST free under his powers, but not as a medical appliance.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of, the tax office had to negotiate and persuade the health minister to issue a determination. And that's where GST can get really interesting from a negotiation point of view. Mm. It's finding the little bits and pieces in the law that can make it work.
Yeah. And I think coming back to what you said earlier, I mean, from an individual business perspective, you know, where you've talked about the fact that the tax office is there to administer the law. So if the law says that it's GST free, if it's GST-able, then it's GST-able. But it sounds like there's still a negotiation to be had about, well, how can we implement this and the process of sorting these things out. So It's like with many negotiations, and it's not just a black and white yes or no. It's like I say to my kids, you will eat lunch today. That is not negotiable. But what we're going to negotiate is what might that lunch look like and how, when might you eat it, and the sort of way that that's implemented. So to me, I think, you know, it's coming in knowing that you might be not negotiating about the final outcome, but you might be negotiating about the implementation of that outcome.
Very much so. And you've also got to, in addition to that, you've got to understand there's more than just the negotiator, the two people on the two sides of the table. There's people around you. So, for example, if you're negotiating a good outcome for you because you've been really honest and you've gone to the tax office, and the tax office is going to say, well, let's do the right thing. You've come to us, you've voluntarily disclosed, so we're going to give you a bit of a break so you don't have to pay tax right away, like negotiating lunch with the kids. But then how does that make all the other people that have been paying the tax feel, saying, well, hang on a minute, tax office, you're giving them a break, but I've been paying tax. Well, what about me? You're going to go and give me a refund, like, so I don't have to pay tax because those other people haven't been? And it's so complex. Mm. You've got the whole, there's 26 million people in Australia. There's, I think, about 5 million people registered for GST. How do you treat everybody equally? And you know something? It's really hard to be fair to everybody because you can't be. And it's just, you know, the tax office gets audited by the Auditor General. They have to be responsible. And everybody, as something I mentioned before, I mentioned the term self-interest. Mm. Everybody thinks they're the best people. They're the most honest people. And, you know, not in my backyard, you know, with property. And I think that's fair. It's the price we pay for democracy. We all get one vote. And we're allowed to vote in our self-interest. And I think what's fair is fair to me. We're all biased. And some of us don't really care about other people. A lot of people want a level playing field. A lot of people, their definition of level playing field is the level playing field is with me on top and everybody else below. And as a negotiator and persuader, you know, when you're engaged to negotiate the best possible outcome for your client at the cost of everybody else, well, that might be your duty and your responsibility, because that's what you're paid to do as a professional person. Is that dishonest? Not really, as long as you're not doing anything dishonest, as long as you're acting with integrity. Tax office, also on the other side of the negotiating table, is not able to do that as easily because they have a responsibility to everybody else. But how do they treat somebody that's come forth and is not doing illegal phoenixing? There's a difference between phoenixing and illegal phoenixing.
Yeah.
Can they exercise discretion? Yes, they can. But if they're not exercising discretion to people that have been dishonest, have been acting criminally, where do you draw the line? And as you well know, as a professional negotiator, as you are, whenever you draw the line in the sand, if you're just on the other side of the line, that's not fair. You know, it's a bit like sitting down.
It's a bit like somebody buying something online and then the next day it goes on sale and they're like, that's not fair. I should get the price that it was now. It's like, yeah, but, you know.
We even had to discuss with Costello the design of the anti-avoidance provisions. Under the food standards, something more than 95% fruit juice is GST-free fruit juice. So if you're in business and you're selling fruit juice that's 94%, you change the constitution to 95%, and all of a sudden your GST goes from 10% to 0%. Is that tax avoidance? What if you're selling a business that's 10% GST and you choose to use the GST-free going concern provisions? And you save GST and you save the state taxes, you save stamp duty, you avoid stamp duty. Mr. Costello, are the anti-avoidance provisions for GST and the anti-avoidance provisions for state taxes going to apply? We had to change the anti-avoidance provisions to make sure that if you actually took up an election that you were allowed to do, that did not cause avoidance. So there's a line in the sand. I think I don't advise on income tax, but I think that up to about 21,000 or something income, you don't pay income tax. Well, if you're earning 21,500, well, I think it should be the tax-free threshold should be changed to 22,000. And if you're in 22,500, I think it should be changed to 23,000.
Yeah.
So whenever you draw a line in the sand, and it could be not because you're greedy or selfish, it's just a matter of what you think is equitable and fair. And when you're negotiating, it depends which side of the table you're on.
Well, I think this is really interesting because the question that's popped up for me through this conversation, Ken, is you talked earlier about, you know, when you're advising a client, it's your job to try and negotiate this outcome that they want because that's what they're paying you for. How often do you find yourself having to negotiate with the client to actually get them to change their expectations because what they want isn't reasonable or isn't likely to be achievable?
That is such a good question, Nicole. You know, I have a certain age. I have a certain gender. I have three nationalities. So I'm biased. I think I'm a really decent, honest person, but I have unconscious bias. I have conscious bias. My kids reckon I'm obsessive about honesty. I can explain to them what I think is fair and reasonable, but that's personal. And I can tell them what's illegal and not illegal. I can tell them what I think goes beyond my level of comfort, but I also have to make them feel their level of comfort. And one of the things, I'll give you two examples. I do a lot of public speaking. I say great tax planning is having a good feed without making a pig of yourself. You have to decide that. The other thing to do is if I'm going to be the one negotiating in front of the tax officer, I want you to pretend that you are the one sitting in front of the tax officer, looking him straight in the eye, and I'm about to say to them what you just told me to say. Pretend you're looking them straight in the eye, repeat, and they're going to look you straight back in the eye, and they're going to look at you and say, really? Really? And if you think that they're going to accept it, I'll proceed. If you don't think they're going to accept it, but it's the truth, it's legal, I'll still do it for you. But I want you to think about the chances of being able for me to persuade them, because negotiation, I can negotiate anything, but will I be able to persuade them to look you and look me in the eye and say, really, and say, you know, Ken, Kenny, you know, I just can't accept that. I just can't see that that's the truth. It's realistic. I just can't swallow that. Then I'm probably not going to be able to get them to say yes. And this is about persuasion and negotiation. One of the biggest things we use in taxation, where there's an apportionment thing, goes back to the old income tax case of Rompabontin. It's wonderful. They came up with this great thing called It's Got to Be Fair and Reasonable. Yay. Wow, I don't think that really helps. What's fair? What's reasonable? What's fair and reasonable? And fair and reasonable to who? So, you know, in negotiation, what's fair and reasonable to who? What's acting in good faith?
Faith.
Does that mean full disclosure? If I represent you, do I have to tell the other side everything? What if I'm a really good, knowledgeable expert and the other side have an absolutely useless GST advisor?
You raise so many of the subjective standards that come not just in tax law, but in every aspect of the law. And some of those questions that come up time and time again when I'm mediating that, you know, create the uncertainty in outcomes that give people a reason to settle rather than going to court to figure out what some judge might decide is reasonable subjective. Ken, I've really enjoyed our chat so far. I am going to close us down just so that our listeners can get back to their day, but it's been fabulous having you on as a guest. If people wanted to reach out to you, perhaps they've got a big GST problem and they want the best to come and negotiate that for them, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Well, if they can remember, my name is Ken or Kenny Fahili. They'll never be able to spell it. The best way to do it is they can contact me on ken@fahiliadvisory.com.au. The easier way is just go into Google and type in Mr. GST.
I love it. You've made it easy for everyone.
Mr. GST, not because people call me Mr. GST, it's because I am Mr. GST.
I love it. And on that note, thank you once again for being a guest. It's been an absolute pleasure, Ken.
Thank you very much, Nicole. I've enjoyed chatting to you.
That's all for this episode of the Negotiation in Real Life podcast. I hope you enjoyed our discussion and learned something new that you can apply in your own negotiations. Remember, negotiation is a skill that can be developed and refined over time, so keep practicing and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can find us on social media or email us directly. And if you liked this episode, please leave us a review on your favourite podcast platform. It helps us to reach more people and continue to produce high-quality content. Until next time, keep negotiating in real life.